along with all the others, I just want to say welcome. I'm a proud alum of Whitworth University, so glad to have you all here. If you have a connection with Whitworth University, raise your hand. I know Ted's an alum. There's a few here. And then Anna Keller is a freshman. I don't know if any of you know Anna, but she's a member of this church and her family, and she's a freshman there this year. So anyway, welcome. We're just so happy to have you here. Let us turn our hearts to God in a moment of prayer. Holy and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart gathered in this place be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Lisa Gash, co-founder of Beverly Hills Manors in Los Angeles, has noticed the gradual vanishing of courteous language. She blames the casualty on the casual, the slow erosion of the magic words in our everyday vernacular. Says Gash, who coaches people to do more civil, to be more civil. She said, this has to do with our preference toward all things casual in our society. Casual conversation, casual dress, casual behavior have hijacked practically all areas of life, and I do not think it is doing a service anymore. She says, polite phrases seem to be falling by the wayside. Instead of saying thank you, people say got it, or have a good one, or more often, nothing at all. The response of have a good one, I'm good, or you bet, do not carry the same sentiment or convey the same conviction as when we are sincerely expressing our gratitude or thanks, Gash says. They feel less invested, almost as if they are painful to utter under our breath. Well, this morning, I want to suggest to you that thank you is one of the most significant and powerful things that one can say. Of course, the marketing experts already know this. If you browse a bookshelf of business bestsellers, you'll find books telling you that a timely thank you letter is the perfect way to get ahead and influence people, to leave a good impression, and to acquire a new client. Well, true as this may be, this isn't the kind of thank you that I am talking about this morning. I'm talking about what you discover and who you become when you develop the habit of saying thank you. Today's gospel reading starts out looking like a story about healing. Jesus is on a journey, moving from Samaria and Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. And as he enters a village, 10 lepers approach him and call out from a distance, raising their voices in unison, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These lepers are desperate for healing, but as unclean people, they don't dash up to Jesus. They know that they're supposed to keep their distance and live outside the community. Jesus sees them and feels a desire to be merciful toward them. Then he gives them a rather unusual command. Go and show yourselves to the priests. Now to us, these words seem kind of odd. But in the time of Jesus, a leper who was fortunate enough to be healed had to show himself to a priest. Only a priest could certify that a person was truly clean and able to return to the community. As the lepers make their way toward the priests, they are miraculously cleaned and healed. Now, up to this point in the story, we've already learned a lot about healing. We've learned that Jesus listens to all those who call out for mercy to him. We've learned that the way to respond to Jesus and to find healing is simple obedience. We've also learned that healing sometimes takes time. If you think about it, Jesus was on the borderlands of Galilee and Samaria, and he tells the lepers to go and see the priests who almost always lived near Jerusalem. That's a long journey. It says that they were healed on the way, not right away. So we've already learned a lot about healing by the time we get to the part about only one of the lepers coming back to say thank you. Episcopal priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that 10 were healed, but only one was saved. 10 were declared clean and restored to society, but only one was said to have faith. 10 set out for Jerusalem to claim their free gifts as they were told, but only one turned back and gave himself to the giver instead. 10 behaved like good lepers, good Jews. Only one behaved like a man in love. There's a lot going on here, she says. So in other words, all 10 of the lepers get to live their lives free from social stigma, discrimination, and exclusion. Only one of them gets to enter the company of Jesus, though. For 9 of the lepers, Jesus is a means to an end. For only one of them is Jesus an end in himself. And the key to the difference between that one leper and the other 9 lies in those 2 simple words: thank you. By saying thank you, that one leper was saying, this is not fundamentally a story about me. This is fundamentally a story about God. I have been healed not because I trained or I researched or I dieted or even because I prayed. I have been healed because God chose to reveal his power in me. In the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says this about a man born blind. This man was born blind so that the glory of God, or literally the works of God, could be revealed in him. When we are reflecting on our lives, past, present, or future, do we judge them on how much we have achieved, how many people love us, or how much stuff we have accumulated? Or do we judge our lives on whether they are the kind of lives in which the glory of God has been revealed? The curious thing is that the glory of God isn't just or even mostly revealed in the lives of accomplishment and success. The glory of God tends mostly to be revealed in lives that are broken and have big holes in them. As one songwriter puts it, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So when we say thank you to God, it isn't something we do when we've been given lots of success, lots of love, or lots of stuff. It's to recognize that we have been given lives in which the glory of God can be revealed. The Samaritan leper had such a life, and so can we. And if we've been given lives in which the glory of God can be revealed, that means that we have been given a part to play in God's story. Just imagine the Samaritan leper waking up one morning and being told, it's good news. Jesus is coming by here later, and if you play your cards right, you could end up appearing in the Gospel of Luke and being talked about by Christians for thousands of years. That's quite a wake-up call. But just think for a moment. How is it different from the wake-up call you and I get every single day? You and I have been invited into this story too. And you and I have lives in which the glory of God can be revealed any day. And the way to get to be a part of the story is quite simple. It's to praise God and to say thank you. When we praise God and say thank you, we recognize that life may not have been this way at all. It may have been very different. God might not have created the world. God might not have created human beings. God might not have created or had come, Jesus come and saved us from our sins. God might not have sent his Holy Spirit to empower the church. God might not have created you and me. It might all have been a very different story. There might not have been a place for you. There might not have been a place for any of us. And the way we recognize that things might have been different lies in saying those 2 words, thank you. Saying thank you moves us beyond the standard, the acceptable, the ordinary. A gracious attitude and lifestyle make one extraordinary and unusual. New research is showing that people who count their blessings may find themselves sleeping better, exercising more, and caring more about others. People who remind themselves of the things that they are thankful for, or grateful for. People who count their blessings one by one consciously every day show significant improvements in mental health and even in some aspects of physical health. And these results appear to be true whether you are a healthy college student or an older person with fragile health, according to research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. It doesn't seem to matter what you were grateful for as long as you count your blessings. You can be appreciative of green grass, seeing the sun on a March day, generous friends, loving family members, pleasant elevator conversations, or even the Oregon Ducks and Gonzaga Bulldogs making it into the Final Four. Woo! In the midst of suffering, gratitude, and thankfulness, they are a primary source of healing. The great theologian Karl Barth said that when you look around and behold all the gifts that have been given to you, all you can do is stammer praise. I love that. Anne Lamott, a well-known author, published a book a few years ago on prayer titled Help Thanks Wow. In it, she talks about three types of prayer that we often find ourselves praying. In her chapter on thanks, she says that most of us offer prayers of thanks only when we've dodged a bullet, or when the tests come back negative, or the brakes worked right when you needed them to. But living a life of thanksgiving is much different. She says if we are lucky, gratitude can become a habit. She argues that living a life of gratitude leads us to be aware of the blessings around us. It leads us to acts of greater compassion for others. Gratitude, therefore, isn't a simple prayer that we offer when things happen to go well. It's a lifestyle that leads us past our own self-absorbed lives into truer faithfulness. A life filled with gratitude offers the opportunity to see blessings and recognize goodness all around us. She goes on to admit how hard this is, though. When we're surrounded by friends who are sick, relatives who can't find work, and a child who is struggling in school, blessings often seem harder to come by. Add on top of that the concerns we have about the hungry and the homeless in this city, the almost weekly report that there has been some kind of terror attack in our world, and natural disasters that occur. It's hard not to get weary from the weight of it all. But this is exactly when we need the story of the 10th leper. As Martin Luther said, the nature of worship is the 10th leper turning back. In good times or bad, the nature of our worship, the call of our lives, is to fall down in thankfulness for the blessings that we've received from God. To say thank you is slowly, gradually, to become the most powerful person in the world. The person who is so filled with awe and wonder with the life and grace that they've been given by God, that no suffering or cruelty or manipulation or misunderstanding or disease or tragedy can break their spirit. The most powerful person in the world is the one who, in the face of horror and scarcity, can only see beyond it to glory and abundance. Nothing can destroy such a person. Such a person was Martin Rinkert. He became the pastor of the small German town of Eilenburg in 1618, just as the slaughter and the chaos of the 30 Years' War was beginning. This was a period that was so catastrophic that the population of Germany fell from 16 million to 6 million in over 30 years. Can you imagine? Eilenburg was a walled city. It became a crowded haven for political and military refugees. This left the city vulnerable to disease and famine. In the year 1637, there was a terrible plague. Martin Rinkert was the only pastor remaining in Eilenburg. He conducted 4,000 funerals that year, including up to 50 funerals a day. As the signs of peace and the tide of slaughter, famine, and plague began to recede in the 1640s, Martin Rinkert, who had lost half his household, including his wife, and could have been forgiven for feeling resentment, angry, and unforgiving, sat down and wrote one of the most famous hymns in the German language. Now thank we all our God. Viewing the wreckage of war, he nonetheless still saw that the ultimate grace was God, which had given him life, who had given him Jesus, had given him hope, had given him unlikely friends, and still gave him faith. He did the simple thing and just said, thank you. It's difficult to imagine what it might have meant for Martin Rinkert to be healed, but it's hard to doubt that he was saved. And in writing this hymn, he displayed what we rediscover when we sing it today, the power of saying thank you. So, how do we begin saying thank you and living a life of gratitude and praise? As we journey to Jerusalem during this Lenten season, I want to challenge each of you to find a time each day. Maybe it's over dinner or before you go to sleep at night, but find a time each day to say thank you to God for one or two things that happened in your day or for something that you are thankful for in your life. To get you started today, I want you to quickly turn to your neighbor and tell them one thing for which you are thankful. Go. Did everybody share? So what does a life of gratitude and praise look like? It's the 10th leper turning back to Jesus to say thank you. And my prayer is that we too can learn to say thank you in great ways and small and become people in whom the glory of God is revealed. Let us pray. God of compassion and healing, help us to say thank you to you so that your glory may be revealed in us. Let us give our thanks to you with our whole being and live our lives joyfully as your disciples. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.